And I thank you that you love each and every one here, and you love the world. You want to draw them to yourself. I thank you for your plans, for the way you do things. I thank you for the Word of God. I pray that it strikes deep tonight. And thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, is there some kind of feedback? Yes. Certainly. Okay. Okay. There we go. And so we turn that. Okay. Okay. There's still a little bit of hum, but can you hear that? Is it?
Yeah.
It's but the hum. Okay. Hum. Okay. I'm glad to be here in the Eastern Religion Church. Hum. Little joke. While I'm joking, just want to know, the pastor last week, I did check and say, you know, what should I wear? And I saw what he was wearing. He had white pants and this, and he looked a whole lot better than I did. But I thought, you know, that's all right. I just got off a 14-day diet, and then all I lost was 2 weeks. So, got off a banana and coconut diet, and I didn't lose any weight, but man, can I climb trees. So there's, and the last one before Sirius, I've been seeing a diet doctor for 2 months, and I've lost $500. So, today we're talking about why suffering. Why suffering? I think that most of us prefer not to talk about, maybe not here, because those songs were really good, talking about giving things to God. But most of us prefer not to talk about the fact that all of us, one time or another, have been, or right now, or will be suffering, mentally, physically, spiritually. And suffering, that's something that we never plan on. You know, when we look at our charts this year, say, honey, let's go to August, 2 weeks on vacation. We don't go, how about October? That's a great month to suffer. How about November? That's when we can have a real struggle in our marriage. Okay, let's pick that month. Or let's have our son get sick right there in June. Is that good? We don't ever do that. And, you know, most all the time, it takes us by surprise, shocked when it comes. And many times we just say, God, why? And why now? And then God's like, well, you know, I thought you were my child. You know, and we're going to go through this together. You know what? The timing doesn't matter. When Job got to go through his suffering in the Old Testament, he had zero reasons. He didn't know why. And I look at that, and that's why I think he's such an outstanding man, incredible, to have zero reasons from God, and he loses, you know, all his family members, all his business, everything all at once. He has no idea what's going on behind the scenes, and that he's going through this trial. And then Job does want to basically put God on trial at a certain point. See, I want you to answer these things, God. And God will never be on trial. For eternity, God will never be on trial. God is God. And he's holy and right and done. And basically, he just tells Job, after he tells him all about creation and everything, you don't understand small things. You really don't understand what's going on here. And Job repents, and he gets blessed. But part of me almost feels sorry for him, because now when we hit the New Testament, and even us, we get to read about Job. We understand a little more. And then Paul, today we're going to be in 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, 1 through 11. But Paul goes through all kinds of sufferings. And he tells us why. Here there's going to be at least 7 reasons why we go through suffering. Now, I don't know about you, but if I have a little bit of reason of why something's happening, it sure helps me get through. My wife's a big reason kind of person. Okay, why are we doing that? What's going on? Help me. And then it's easier to get through. Paul gives that to us. Paul, even though we're going to start there, I'm going to talk a little bit. In Acts 15, when Paul, as you know, when Paul was met on the Damascus Road, and he was blind, and he was 3 days without food and water, and then the Lord speaks to Paul, there's a guy named Ananias that's coming. And then the Lord speaks to Ananias at the same time, saying, Ananias, go over there and pray for Paul. Then Ananias goes, oh, just a second, Lord. That's the guy that killed everybody. You got the wrong guy, Lord. It's the wrong Paul. And he says, no, it's not the wrong Paul. And this is what he said in Acts 9:15-16. The Lord said to him, to Ananias, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. That was part of his call. And if you know later on in the different verses where he says, you know, I've been through, got stoned 5 times, and that was with rocks. He wasn't a guy of the 60s. And so he went stoned in that way. Stoned with rocks and shipwrecks and left for dead And later on, he calls those small, minor things, you know. But he went through a lot of suffering. So let's just go in 2 Corinthians. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. The first thing he has to set up with the Corinthians, this is called 2 Corinthians. Some of the Bible scholars say that he might have written one or two lost letters before 2 Corinthians that were kind of lost. But the Corinthians, whom he loved, the Corinth was a seaport city, and so they had water, and the people came through, and it was, you know, it was a little bit like San Francisco, or maybe Seattle. You know, you got a lot of different various influences that come in and out. And they had all kinds of problems in Corinth, as you probably know. And so he had to write 1 Corinthians just to try to make it better, and it didn't make it better. And so he had a couple other letters, and he had to get harsh and stern. But by 2 Corinthians, everything got a lot better, and he's writing this letter to them. But he has to tell them, you know, I wasn't appointed by the congregation there at Corinth to be an apostle. People didn't vote on me. I didn't tell you. God himself picked me to be an apostle outside of everybody else that's out there. And Jesus Christ said that to Ananias. We picked him. He's a special chosen instrument for me. And he was that by the will of God. And God's will, you can try to fight it, but God's will is going to happen. And he's there. And Timothy, our brother. And Timothy, Paul had a hard time too. He asked for boldness on many occasions. And he wanted to be more. He wanted to be stronger. And he would even say that, my letters are tough. And then you see me in person. He's a short guy, bald head. I like that. And he just wasn't impressive when he spoke. You remember that one thing? When he spoke for too long and somebody fell off the third story and died? I mean, that helps me if I have a bad sermon. Okay, at least nobody died. You know, of course, we're not done yet. So, anyways, Timothy was another one that was really timid. But Timothy was like his son in the faith. Timothy had a Jewish mom and a Jewish grandmother and a Greek father. And so he had this mixed up kind of background, even spiritually. But his grandmother had a faith. And it was in his mother, the faith. And he said, Timothy, you got that same thing. You know, and it's such a blessing when our kids pick up on the faith. He says, to the church of God that's at Corinth and all the saints who are throughout Achaia. Achaia back then, a few times Greece was named Achaia. And then it's Greece, and then it's Achaia. But he's writing to not just Corinth, but all the Greeks over there. And his salutation, grace to you. And peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's funny. Grace is like all that God is. You know, all that unmerited favor that we get. Grace is something that when you receive, it changes your life and it gives you peace. Because when you have the grace of God and you realize, I don't have to earn it today. He's earned it for me. Can I rest in what he has done? Can I be the man I'm supposed to be in him with all my faults, with all my foibles? Can I just rest in him? Can I accept what he said? Also, let me repent of the things I need to repent of. God, I'm yours. But have that grace and peace. You want to pass that on. And obviously, all of us, if we're older, when you become a Christian, you just get so excited, or younger, you want to pass it on to people in your family, to your friends. Go, hey, I got something here. This is incredible. I never believed I could sense that. I never believed God could love me like this. I can't believe it. And it changes things. My son with the guy in Hawaii. I mean, it changed his life, and then it changes somebody else's life. And then one guy in Hawaii, his mother becomes a Christian later on. What was cool was at the wedding of the guy in Hawaii who was going to commit suicide, the mother comes up to my wife and says, because of your son, I still have a son today. That's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. Firstly, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. And mercies is like the compassionate treatment of those who are in distress. And I'm keep on moving on. Who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with we ourselves are comforted by God. One of the reasons that we suffer is so we can join the afflictions of others, and then we can also join in the sufferings of Christ. We're the body of Christ, and when, you know, our sufferings, again, are on different levels sometimes. It's not just a physical thing. A lot of us suffer. If we have somebody who's going astray, a family member, you suffer. You really struggle with it. You pray for him. You're on your knees. Lord, you know, we can have financial worries. We can have the physical worries. We can have all those. We suffer in many ways. Jesus, in his ministry, when he went around, you know, he didn't even get enough sleep, or he didn't even have time to eat sometimes. And so it's a different kind of suffering. And some of his disciples even said, boy, you're going a little bit nuts here. You know, can you slow down? Can you have some meal? No, my meal is I'm doing the Lord's will. And then even his mother came out, and the brothers, okay, get him out here. We need to slow him down. No, you're not going to slow me down. I'm doing this. Anyways, he struggled. And obviously the one time when he struggled so much, he was so tired, when they went across the sea, he falls into this deep sleep. And the ship is tossing and turning, and everybody else is convinced this is it. And he's down there sleeping. Well, he was worn out. And then they woke him up, and as afraid as they were of the elements, he says, hush, be still. And then they were really afraid of him. He said, wow. He can, and in our lives too, God can control the storm, the physical. He can do anything he wants. We have a God who can do anything he wants to do. Okay, verse 5. For just as we our sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. Okay, so why do you, when you get this, you can relate with people a little more. You can relate with Jesus, but you also get comfort from God. You get comfort from God. Let me go to 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 11. And this is what Paul says. But we have this treasure, that's the life of Christ, in earthen vessels, that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. There's one reason why we struggle. There's a world looking at you. And everybody goes through hard times. How do you respond? Okay, there's Mike Christian. Okay, something just happened to him. Let's see how he responds. Is he going to complain, murmur, grumble, look at God and say, why, all day? Or he goes, no. You know what? I'm going to go back to God. I'm going to accept the mercies he gives me. He's going to be the comforter. And comfort, another word for comfort, too, is to strengthen. You know, the Holy Spirit comes along to comfort us, but he strengthens us. He upgirds us. He brings us along. And so part of going through those struggles, anyways, is that more in the scriptures on that. Verse 6, but if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort. He's talking to the people he's writing to. And salvation. Or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective to the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. So he realizes that the tough part that's happening to Paul, he knows it's not just for him. It's not just for himself that this is happening. He knows that people are looking. People are paying attention. And the struggles I go through, now I can relate a lot better to you. I remember a couple times. One I really liked, before I married my beautiful wife, I really liked this other woman and I wanted to marry her. You know, and it didn't work out. And then you find everything in the scriptures, you know, hey, if two or more agree, so you get people to pray with you. Yeah, I want this to work out. You know, it never worked out. And I went through struggles. But I have to say that before I went through that struggle, I wasn't really compassionate to other people who struggled in relationships. I'd say, oh, just love God. Love God. Come on. Just do this and this and this. And I had it all together because it worked for me. And this is going to work for you. Well, after I went through that whole thing of caring for somebody who didn't work out, you know, country music started making sense to me. I'm going, oh, that's why they're crying over this. And that's why. Because I never liked country music. I go, oh, I can relate with that now. And so, there was another time I was at a Young Life camp, a Young Life weekend. If you don't know about Young Life, it's just fun. It's to the wall fun 24 hours a day. And my brother, as a freshman, I got to work picking weeds. And I made $90. And I said, what do I do with this money, Lord? And I'm a Christian. And then it was like, send your brother to camp. So I sent my brother to camp. And he caught the wave and said, I'm a Christian and everything. And he came back. And I was so excited. And then when he came back, you know, it waned, and then pretty soon back to the, you know, drugs and friends and all the wrong things. And I was incredibly burdened over the situation. And when I went to this Young Life weekend, everybody's having the greatest time of their life. And I'm the one guy who's like, and I'm a pretty fun guy. You know, well, not fungus, but fun guy. No. Okay. And I'm just not having a good time at all because I'm just so burdened. I'm so down. And there was a girl there who was at the same camp as my brother. And they knew each other. I assumed that she was a Christian. And I started sharing with her. She, her dad was an elder in the Presbyterian Church in Berkeley. But I just started sharing with the stuff I was worried about my brother. And I never could be happy the whole weekend. And, you know, and the whole week, and it was just such a burden. And anyways, as time went on, and I had that, and I thought, well, and that's certainly, I didn't want to talk to the non-Christians because I wasn't all happy. So I, you know, so I better not, because I'm just depressed. So I'm not going to share that with them. So I'm just talking to her. 6 months later, there's a different Young Life camp, and he comes up, and it was nothing romantic between her and I or anything like that. She comes up and gives me a bracelet. And it said on the front, Mike. And on the back, it said, who showed me the way. And I said, what does that mean? What does this mean? She says, well, you know what? I haven't been a Christian my whole life. Yes, I've been in church and all that kind of stuff. I've never been a Christian. And listen to you talk about your brother that weekend. Attracted, I gave my life to Christ. And I thought, okay, is this the evangelical way? Is to, you know, I thought it was to be happy, to show them how great we are, to how much God has blessed us, and they'll just come right along. And no, God used toughness and persecution and openness, transparency, to use that. And I really had to praise God because I did nothing. I did nothing but was worried about my brother too much. But she saw that, and I thought, isn't that wild that God can use that? Part of the reason why we are afflicted, it's for the other people who are looking around us. It's for your neighbors. It's they want to see something real. And when you have the tough times in life, you're on display. What are you going to do? Are you going to act just like everybody? You're going to trust God. You're going to acknowledge God. Job still acknowledged God, still praised God in the midst of it. I know my Redeemer lives. In the midst of all, I know He does. Okay, so in verse 7 here, and our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that as you are sharers in our sufferings, you are also sharers in our comfort. Now, Deanna and I, our son's 25, and he's running the globe. He loves Christ. He shares Christ. I know that the tougher times he goes through, he's just becoming much more of a sweetheart with people and everything, and all of us. You know, it's easy if we know God and we don't have struggles. Life's pretty easy. It's great. We know God. We don't have struggles. We can tell everybody what to do. But when you go through the struggles and you're barely holding on, and it's like, oh my goodness, this is really tough, and you go to God, your compassion level goes up for those who struggle. Who better to help somebody if someone just died, if you've been through that and you lost a mate, and someone else does that? Well, everybody else can say whatever, but if you go and share with that person, you've got an insight that somebody else doesn't have. You know, you got an insight when you go through these things. You get, God puts a little stamp and says, I'm going to use you in this situation, and that's why you could use Paul. Verse 8, for we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction, which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. This is great with Paul. You don't want him to be ignorant. Kind of like when your parents, you know, growing up with our kids, my wife and I, my two parents weren't married. Her two parents were, but between her two parents and my two parents were 12 legal divorces. So the pastor that married us wasn't being a mean guy. He said, your chances of making it are very little, okay? Because of the background. He wasn't malice or anything. He's just saying, look at the stats. You got very little chance of making it. Okay, which was great. Yeah, that's fine. And so 27 years, we're still here. But, thank you. Thank you. Praise God. And pray for this week that we still make it. No, and we're having a good week, so that's all right. The point is, when we struggled, even growing up, we didn't argue a lot in front of my son. We get so upset. He goes, be kind to one another, because we taught him scripture, and he taught it back to us, as your kids will do. And that's good. And also, kids will remember something you said 2 years ago, put it in a different context for today, and say, I didn't say that, and they twist it around. I thought he was going to be a lawyer, but he's heading towards a pastor. I think so. So, hey, be kind. And I said, son, okay, our parents didn't argue. They just left. Okay, we're trying to work this out. But the point was, I wanted a transparency there. Whenever my son failed in something, I would tell him about a bigger failure that I had. Not to encourage him to fail more, just to say, your dad has failed in that area and blah, blah, blah. God was good and this is what happens over here. And so, Paul doesn't want them to be unaware that even though he talks about grace and peace and trusting God and having those things, he was at a position where it was almost done, where he knew it was almost over. He said, and we knew we're almost over. What are we supposed to do with this? And that's the great Apostle Paul that hits that thing. I love the statement, it's true in some ways and not true in others, where it says, God doesn't give us more than we can bear. Well, I know that in trials and temptation, God always leaves a way out. But God does give you more than you can bear on your own, so that you turn back to Him to get the strength that is needed, to get the life that is needed to go through. That's why we're put in that. Paul will say that right here. Indeed, verse 9, we had the sentence of death within ourselves in order that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Big reason why we go through suffering. Huge reason that we go through suffering. So we will not trust in ourselves, but in the God, not just any God, the God who raises the dead. There's only one. There's only one God in the whole universe. It's Him. He raises the dead. But when you get that from the trial, you go, oh my goodness, I got to trust Him again. All of us being believers, if we're a believer, there are times where you've trusted God totally. And you know it was Him. Then life gets going pretty well. And we can trust ourselves a little bit. And boy, didn't I do this well? And didn't I got the problem? And so, then God brings us back to our knees and goes, oops, I forgot. Trust the Lord. Thank you so much for that trial. Thank you for that suffering because I didn't know where I was. And now I'm back with you. The blessings are there, the grace, the peace that handles the situation. The peace of God is an amazing thing. The world does not have it. When you have the peace of God because you know the grace of God, my goodness, you can go through any situation there is. Okay, in verse 10, he said, who is in God who delivered us from so great a peril of death. And you know, this thing, the death thing that Paul felt, there's people, they don't know exactly which one. Paul had been through so many tough, you know, when he gets stoned 5 times, that's not what he was talking about. I don't know if it was the riot in Ephesus, where he thought he was going to lose his life, or if he was actually in a jail cell. We don't know exactly what it was, but there was a time where even Paul said, it's over, it's dark, there is no hope, I'm not getting out of this one. Have you been there in your life where you said it's over? I think my son, just 2 days ago, he had a blood transfusion, but he goes, oh, I think I'm going to die. I think I'm dying. And of course, when you call and say that to mom at 11:40 at night, you know, mom gets a little upset. Dad says, I'll pray about it tomorrow. Let me sleep. And then, no, our agreement is as long as one of us is on it, that's okay. You know, we don't both need to lose all of life because I had to fix the sermon today and stuff. So. But I said, no, I trust God, but it's like, okay, God's there, and He's in New Zealand. I can't run over there right now in the car. And my wife, we may have to go to New Zealand. I think, dear, we might have to get passports and stuff. They don't just let you in, you know. But I think a mother bear with her child, they'll let her in. Get out of the way, she's got a child. But I'm stopping you at the border. No, you're not. Boom. And I feel sorry for the person who gets in Deanna's way when that happens. Okay, and verse 10, I'll say it again, who delivered us from so great a peril of death, and He will deliver us, He on whom we have set our hope, and He will yet deliver us. There's a veteran talking. There's an elder here talking, right there. You've seen God work in the past, you've seen Him work right now, you know what He's going to do in the future. The veteran says, He's going to make it through. He's going to pull you through. Why? Well, because I've been there 500 times already. I've been at that place where I have to keep on turning back, and he comes through, and he comes through, and he comes through, and he comes through. That's what kind of things you can do later on, and you've got a track record to prove it. You're not 8 years old, you're not 12, you're not 15, and you know it all. It's later on when you don't know as much. But in the blessing kind of way, he's saying, I do know this. I know God's going to come through. And I'm not saying that any 15-year-olds here do that. It's just the other churches. Okay. Okay. And here's another reason that happens. Verse 11. It'll be the last verse I'm going to talk about. And I know we're going to have some praying and sharing. You also joining us in helping us through your prayers, that thanks be and may be given by many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed upon us through the prayers of many. Part of the reason we go through the struggle too is other people can pray about it. Other people can lift it up. That we will open up to other people. If we were all doing okay, and this happens in Squim, we're all doing okay, we just stay separate lives. Everything's fine, separate lives. I just want my personal peace, I want my money, and I'm happy, thank you. Whoop. And then a struggle comes. Then you can't handle it. Then you got to go to somebody else. You got to share with somebody. I've seen this happen in Bible studies, where people break up, it's not that important right now, and then somebody dies somewhere, and all of a sudden it's important to say, I need somebody. I didn't realize I needed somebody. Jim Carla, I need you. I didn't realize I needed you. But I need you. Could you help me out here? No, I need you. Whoever. And then say, Jim Beam, my goodness, I thought you had a good name, but now I really need you. Could you help me out here? And what's amazing, God works on both sides. And when somebody calls you, to me it's a huge blessing if somebody involves you in the process of anything that needs to be reconciled. It's just a huge blessing. Oh, my goodness, that you've been called upon, because, A, I'm inadequate, and we all are, but God is adequate. And he'll make me adequate for what I need to do. And if I allow him, he'll work through me. And if I'm open and transparent, he will get the glory. You can see my mess inside, but you can see there's a great God happening behind here. Who hopefully one day I'll be a lot thinner. Probably won't be any better looking, because I'm pretty much over the hump on that one. But God can do all things. But he's still working on me. And I love him. He's working on you too. And it's wonderful. So, why do we suffer? This is not an exhaustive list, but there's seven things we just talked about. We suffer so we can join in the afflictions of others. Two, we suffer so we can enter in the sufferings of Christ. Three, we suffer for the comfort of others. Four, we suffer for the salvation of others. We suffer for, number five, we suffer and are afflicted so that we are no longer trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Six, we suffer so that we can pray for each other. And seven, we suffer so we can rejoice together. You know, that's part of the reason why we suffer. Would you want it any other way? If God's in charge of the universe and my life, and this is the program he's going to use to get himself glorified, and then one day we're not going to have these problems, folks. It's going to be all over. It's just right here. But this is the time. So just remember that if you're suffering, you know, physically, mentally, spiritually, the God of all comfort will comfort us. And you just put it over to him. And I'll just close this side in prayer. Thank you. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much. You are the awesome healer. You heal us on many different levels. And you care for us on all the levels. God, the plans for each one of us here, they're good. They're going to be tough. But you want to put us on display. You want to show lives that are trusting in you and what it looks like. So God, I pray that you have your way, however you want to do it. My life, and this congregation's life, Lord, that you would be the one that is glorified. That men would see our good works in that sense, but they glorify you. And the good works are only because of you, Lord. And so I thank you for this morning. A huge blessing being here at this church. I pray that you continue to bless this church and the Word of God and their fellowship, and that you would be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.